When a famous actor decides to try their hand at directing a feature film for the first time, the story they choose to tell can reveal something about them. And if the film Robin Wright has chosen to direct says anything about her, it's that she's not afraid to go to the most painful parts of the human experience. It's called Land, and she's the director and star.
I'm feeling that it's really difficult to be around people because they just want me to be better.
So you're not able to share what you're feeling with other people?
Why would I want anyone to share in that?
But that means you're alone with your pain.
The film tells the story of a woman named Edie, who's lost her husband and her young son. Her grief pushes her away from the world, and she escapes to a small abandoned cabin on the side of a mountain in Wyoming.
We toyed with the word survival and all of its different personalities that it could have, you know, in a movie. And it's not so much that she wants to die. She wants to erase herself, the self that she was with her family, because it'll never be the same. She says, if I die, it's on me. I'm making this cognitive choice to live off the grid and try to find a new Edie.
A severe winter storm leaves her without any way to get food. She's unconscious, on the floor, freezing to death, when a stranger happens upon the cabin and nurses her back to health.
How did you find me?
I was on a hunt. I noticed on my way by here, there was chimney smoke, like any cabin will have this time of year. And then on my way back, there was no smoke.
Why are you helping me?
You were in my path.
Let's talk about Miguel. He's the man who saves her. He is played by the remarkable Damien Bashir. As the director, what guidance did you give Damien about who this man is?
I didn't have to give him much. He knew exactly who this character was. Damien also had an unfathomable event happen to him. And he had experienced what Edie had with the different phases of grief. And he just said, I know this character because I've been there.
It's such a painful thing, but we do need to acknowledge he lost his wife. So this was just months before you started to shoot this movie. Damien's wife died by suicide. So,
yes.
I mean, he was grappling with this material that was cutting so close.
So close. And when I met with him before we shot the movie, we sat in my living room for an hour, and he just said, I need to play this part. It's therapy for me. And the only word I gave him as a symbol to represent who he is to Edie, I said, you are her saint. And he went, done. That's all I needed. See you on set. And we left, and I saw him a month later, and we started shooting.
We think of intimacy, or I do anyway, as being built on shared revelation. You make yourself vulnerable to someone, right, by sharing something about yourself that's personal, and then they respond. And that is not necessarily what happens with Edie and Miguel. It is all about the present moment for them and the solace they find in each other's presence. Can you talk a little bit about how you cultivated that intimate silence between the two?
I mean, really, that was brought by Erin Dignam, who was one of the writers. She's like, he needs to be frugal with his words. He only speaks when it's important and respects her wishes when she says, I'm choosing to be here, and can you not tell me anything about the world outside? He's like, okay, but if you're going to stay here, I'm going to teach you how to properly survive. And in the quietude, you know, we cut a lot of lines, frankly. He was talking too much. And Damien is that quality anyway. He's one of the most soulful men I've ever met and is such a gentle, beautifully open, gentle soul. So what a gift to get that actor to be in this movie. It was perfect.
I don't want to leave people with the impression that this is all just this very heavy film. It is heavy and poignant, but I love the levity when it comes. There's this special glimpse into Miguel when he's teaching Edie to survive in the wilderness. And apropos of nothing, he starts singing "Everybody Wants to Rule the World" from Tears for Fears. How did that come to be? It's so beautiful and so completely random.
Aaron Dignam, the writer, was actually frustrated, saying, "We need levity."
Hmm.
And she just came up with that idea that he's just singing an 80s tune. And when you're, you know, doing a low budget movie, you only have so much in the kitty for what song you want to use or what actor you'd like to cast.
Right, right.
And we had a choice between that one and I think two other 80s songs. And I just went with that one. I was like, that is so metaphorical. A, just the opening right. line, you know, I mean, come yeah, on. Yeah. It was just, we could not stop laughing.
And the moment when you two sing together. They don't have to reveal anything about their trauma, their past, but they build intimacy in this moment by singing this wackadoo song.
It is. They're almost like brother and sister.
Yeah.
Like he became her older brother mentor.
And it was just the most beautiful thing that it was just a time capsule of these two people who needed each other in that way.
Oh, I love the way you put that. It very much is that, a time capsule.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
The film is called Land. Robin Wright stars in the movie. She also directed it. Robin, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Rachel. It was great talking to you.
If you or someone you know is thinking about suicide, there are free trained counselors available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.
I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Noel King.